You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan!
It's Walsh.
International break pod, also daytime pod.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple of differences today and Tuesday instead of usual Tuesday. Monday night.
But you can tell here. How sunny it is in LA by Walsh's screen, and it's sunny in mine too, but I have the shades down, but my right side is really sunny.
If you're watching us, of course.
If you're
watching, you have the pleasure
YouTube.
Of taking us in visually and not just auditorily.
And we're going to try and start taking some additional questions from YouTubers who are kind of like, treated as second-class citizens from time to time. Most people listen to the pod, I think, with audio. So, you know, maybe we'll take some questions from YouTube people. Take it from there.
Yeah, if you post questions in the comment for the following episode, we might, you know, take a glance there and pull a couple questions if the mood strikes you.
Yeah.
So you...
No
you
pod.
You didn't free hit.
Yeah, no pod. I just want to mention no pod until Thursday the 28th. We'll do a Patreon episode. But it's a little break for us, a little break for the Premier League. But
Go ahead. So you didn't free hit.
No free hit.
Plot twist. So let's hear the rationale there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it worked out for me because I got in Anthony Robinson. Otherwise, it would have still been really bad, even though it was such a low scoring week. But I mean, on my wild card, if we rewind to there, I was definitely, obviously, based on my team, planning on not free hitting because I have so many, I had so many guys. And the loose plan was basically like use one free transfer, maybe take a hit to get out like 8 or 9. And it's fine because all the teams are bad and most of the players are bad. And I have Son and Matto already, who's like the only good team, whatever. And then I started panicking with like the Ollie injury, the Regs injury. And like, I think it's also just FOMO of
you
like,
wish Regs was injured.
I mean, I could have gotten +3 there.
Yeah. It would have
been huge for me. And I think it was also just FOMO of just like, you know, talking about it with you and with people on Discord nonstop for a week of just like, oh my God, this, Tony's birthday, this guy, this open set pieces, all this shit. And me just feeling like, oh my God, is my team just going to get outscored by like 30? Because I have guys, but none of them are like the quote unquote best guys that you would want, right? Like no one's picking fucking Saar or whatever on their free hit team. And then I kind of settled back down on Friday and was just like, you know what? Like, I have 8 nailed guys because Ollie, we thought, recovered. Regs was fit. And I was like, okay. So why am I free hitting out my 8 meh guys, aside from like Son and Matto and Ollie, for like 8 other meh guys plus 3 other shitty guys? You know, like basically it just came down to my original thinking. And I think it's good to be flexible, and I almost still free hit, but you know, obviously it worked out for me. I got 21 points without a free hit, which is better than most free hitters.
Well, the not product, Team Walsh. The end point worked out, but we have to rewind also and talk more about, like, how did you actual fuck land on getting Anthony Robinson?
This is my team, so pull it up for the aforementioned YouTubers. But yeah, 21 points. So to recap my team, because I have one from Dowdy, -3 from Regs, 2 from Madden, 2 for Sar, 2 for Captain Sun, 2 for Morris, 2 for Ollie, and then 11 from Jedi, the legend.
Because to be clear, if you transferred literally any other defender in that spot, you would have had about 10 points this week.
There were no cleans except for the one that I nailed. Yeah. So, but,
if you did that, which I mean, we will hear from you about how you got to Robinson, and we will determine whether that was genius or absolute insane luck. But ultimately, <It's both. laughs> right, you would have had a disaster.
Yes.
To the free hitters.
So let's just say I brought in the truth is, I wasn't really considering anyone else. You know, when you look at these teams, like I looked around for a long time to try and reason anybody, and I couldn't get there. I mean, I guess the closest I would have been an NFO defender. So let's just say it was Bowley, right? So I'm just, you know, -9 points from this team. I would have been on 12. I would have been on a red, but not a ridiculous red. Not like
you would have, yeah. But you would have basically given about 15 points to the free hit teams.
I think you're overrating the free hit teams, and you got 24, but the top 10K average is 19.
Oh God.
Like most of the teams on Discord are between 15 and, like, let me rewind also to the template, which is just a fucking piss take. Flecken, Dowdy, Regs, Poro Oru Dogs. I mean, Sun, Matto, Bowen, and then, you know, between like 5 different guys who all blanked except MGW in midfield, Ollie, Tony, Morris. I mean, that's zero. That's a zero return team in 15 points.
That's true.
So like, yeah, I mean, the fact that like you had MGW and, you know, like you did great, like 24. I mean, there's a reason you're on like a 50K green arrow with 24 points. If that is fucking ridiculously low amount of points and you're on a 50K green arrow.
Yeah, that's fair. So go back to Robinson.
But back to how I got to Robinson. I mean, he's always been a player I liked. I mean, he's obviously very attacking. And then really it was mostly a fixture play. It was me looking at not the Spurs fixture specifically, but, you know, more they're really good at home and his next two are at Sheffield, at Forest. And I probably need him to start those games. Because now, you know, I'm looking, we didn't know about the Dowdy injury or the Regs red card ahead of time. But, you know, I knew that my two Arsenal defenders are at City in 30. And I knew that I basically don't want to start Dowdy again for the rest of the season. And I basically don't want to start Regs again for the rest of the season. As, you know, aside from maybe one or two insane bankers if they have them.
So you got him because he was the only guy that played and had a couple good fixtures after, and you didn't care that it was the worst fixture of the slate this week.
Pretty much. I mean, he's also very attacking. I mean, that was key for me because I didn't think they were going to clean Spurs, but I thought, you know, he's on Poro's side, who we know is a joke. And I'm like, yeah, like they're attacking well, they're good at home, and he could get an assist, right? Like even if Spurs win 3-1 or 3-2, which was kind of expected, I'm like, he could come away with 5 points, 6 points, maybe get a bone, something. And that was fine. Obviously, the clean is a little lucky. You know, they had to like miss big chances for the clean to come in. But he got the assists. He got the bones, played well, and he's two good fixtures. So yeah, it was mostly like, it was definitely a decision I would not have made on free hit. I think that is safe to say.
Well,
right?
We didn't
like
even mention him or Fulham, I mean, defender. The only
because
thing
if you're
about
picking, if you're picking a fixture for like a 1 week punt, which is a free hit, like no one's picking Fulham home to Spurs, right? So
yeah, I fucking had Leno on my bench like an idiot. God damn it,
dude! We gotta stop with the bench points, though.
Bench points.
Let me pull up your team here. So yeah, 24. But everyone in Discord's, oh my god, I had fucking 20 points. Your bench doesn't even fucking exist on free hit. You have no bench on free hit because everyone picks 11 nailed players. What are we talking about?
Excuse me. I picked a defender who did not start in my free hit team. True. So look at the Look at me in my face when you're talking to me.
True, true. But Dean Fofana couldn't have something in for him.
No, no. Unless if I simultaneously brought back the all-out attack chip and played it with the free hit chip.
And now we're talking.
Then I
now
was
we're
fucking...
now we're talking chips here.
Then I'm flying.
But I mean, I also wanted to say, like, people are, I've gotten plenty of Discord mentions of like, oh, you dodged a bullet, like, oh, great non-free hit. Dude, I got so fucking lucky. Are you crazy? I got so lucky. Like, if you just, like, Tony probably should have had a pen. Tony had a big chance. He created a whiss of chance. All of that's nightmare for me. I mean, West Ham could have scored three or four. They had literally three goals ruled out that all would have been disasters for me. Alonga had a chance cleared off the line. Alonga had an assist cleared off the line. There's so many little things that went in my favor. Like, just late clean sheet wipes and just all this kind of Zaniolo goals, fucking huge for me. But you know, it is what it is. I got lucky and I went up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I, on the other hand, didn't get lucky and
still went up a lot.
I still feel like I did a good job and I'm happy with it. I mean, the couple takeaways I had, which didn't really sit until the morning or maybe the evening of the game week, where literally my entire 11 were away. And I was looking at that. I was
not
like,
great,
this
Bob.
Doesn't seem great. Because we talked so much about the diversifying of eggs. And I did and didn't, because I had four different defensive team representations from my goalkeeper and my three defenders.
Right.
But I also had all my teams from four teams, my whole team from four teams. So I had triple or double, you know, of those four teams. I had triple Spurs, triple Brentham, triple NFO, and double Villa.
Yeah.
I still feel like I did the thing, though. I mean, ultimately, the Regs red card, which we will, I'm sure, talk more, like, you know, that was the beginning of the end for me. And it didn't take long, because, you know, I look at that shit on a single digit minute, where it's just like, oh, they're playing with 10 men and I have my captain and my other two, my attackers there. Like,
and you still got unlucky to not get points, which is actually unbelievable, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's very fair and that's very on the cards there. I mean, Tony just keeps getting away with it as Tony's doing things to me this season that I didn't think were possible. But, you know, I'm happy with my picks. Like, I thought the NFO picks were really good. And I could have gotten 25 points for my three NFO players in a different day if I won some coin flips. Like, I lost coin flips. You won coin flips.
Yep.
I lost less coin flips than a lot of free hitters. But, I mean, I'm just ultimately... When Regs gets a red card and he's in the most amount of teams that he will ever be in FPL.
He was like a nailed pick this
nailed
week.
Pick. Yeah. And I didn't even consider him.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Nothing else has to happen. Like, that's all I focus on.
Win.
I'm like, great, I'm done with this week.
Beautiful.
I won this week.
Beautiful.
Won the week.
He's in the GIF for a reason. You'll see the Regs red card all over again in the GIF. Great job by Cole there.
Everyone can look at it over and over and over again.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment in time. You also won. You also won in the cup.
Let's go. I'm flying.
You have 12 points in the cup. You're looking good to make it to the next round. I'm clawing back. I might make it to the next round. So things are kind of up for Pod Boys.
How many more rounds are in the cup of group?
This is, I think, the last one coming up before knockouts.
Am I through, or do I have something to play for?
You still have something to play for.
Okay.
Yeah. It's sketch.
It's
close. Let me see. You're on 12 points and tied for third, but losing on the tiebreaker. So you're in third. Top four go through. Actually, you're through. Never mind. You're through. You're good. Cash it. Take as many hits as imaginable this week and you're fine.
This Walshampton town.
Meanwhile, I'm tied with fucking Sam Walters and Alexis on 9 points, all tied for fourth. I have the most points.
Okay.
So a lot of action very for dicey for me. Yeah. Let me shout out the March Mug leaders so far. Ali Ross, aka Huang Banging, Timmy Cal, aka AFC Hung Daddy, and Peter Trendler, aka Happy Holoboss, which just whole boss.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's
great. Next game week is our last March one, right?
Yeah, April. In like 2 weeks or whatever. And then shout out to the leader of the
midweek what? Immediately after yeah, the break. What, there's one what is day that? Off. We needed more games.
We need 2 weeks off so we can have a pileup as soon as we get back and everyone yes. get injured again. And then shout out to the leader of the Public League, Jack Bones, aka Peace and Love, 59th overall.
His name of his team is Peace and Love?
Peace and Love, dude. Have you seen the sunglasses?
Well, we've all seen the sunglasses. That team yeah. name, he's not winning any ties in the cup, I'll tell you that.
He, yeah, that's a fact. that's a literal fact. He got 15 points this week. And he's 59th in the fucking world.
15 teens?
Yeah.
So not a that, lot of and that, points.
That's common.
He must have had regs. I mean, he of course had regs.
Of course he had regs.
Regs.
He had an all-time classic. I mean, this is so many teams. There's actual zero returners and regs. He had 10 guys, so because he had
Dom. Hey. Red cards are returns.
Yeah, it's interesting if you think about it. Red cards. Yeah, I could see it. Where do we go from here, dude? Not that much to talk about, obviously, with only the four games.
I mean, there were FA Cup games. There were yeah. injuries. There are injuries everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of also international break injuries, shall we call yeah. them, where, you know, is it an injury?
Really know.
Don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Because we were talking before and I was like, I want a wild card as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But probably not now because like this is mainly the hugest thing is we won't really know which of these players is actual factual hurt and which of them is just the diddling to not
counterpoint though is the fucking pileup. Like if you're not going to wild card now and you would instead rather wild card in 31, you have one day off.
I only need one day, baby.
Okay.
I'll machine it
Honestly, one day might be a blessing in disguise. You're just like this is the team, and yeah. I'm sticking with it.
My sleep's going to be better because I won't be thinking about it before yeah. bed when my head's
maybe
on the
we'll,
pillow
maybe
for
we'll
that
pod,
much.
We'll probably end up podding that Sunday night, and then Monday off, and then there's matches on Tuesday. And yeah, so you think you'll wild card for 31 then?
That's what I'm planning, yeah. yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm also planning on actually getting a good squad. Like, I want to have a decent bench where it's not just like
yeah.
Branth and Chukwuemeka, where I yeah. have some versatility and flexibility there, because I imagine there are going to be more injuries, so many games, blah, blah, blah. Double game weeks, like
yeah,
I want to
we'll
have
know
good
about
players
the doubles soon.
Yeah, I want to just have good players up and down, so I don't feel forced into hitting and shit like that because my four bench players are worthless. So.
I think we're gonna look back on this season, like in the postmortem, and just be like, "This was the season where you actually would have benefited hugely if you spent more on the bench, because of the amount of injuries and red cards and yellow card sure. suspensions. It's just yeah. been insane. I feel like
yeah."
Half my free transfers, maybe that's way too much, maybe that's too little, are just like on red flag guys. I'm just yeah. like, oh, this guy's hurt. Oh, another guy's hurt. Oh, yeah. gotta get rid of him. And yeah. it's just like, you're in a position where like a lot of the teams that did really well, you know, obviously the teams that do well never really take that many hits because their team's good. They don't need to take hits. But even more so this year, it was just like, they just had so-and-so who kept getting points. And everyone else was using transfers on injured guys. Right. And they just ended up keeping that guy who ended up keep getting them points, you know?
Right,
just
like right.
That kind of thing.
And I mean, more specifically to that is the fifth mid spot, right? That's yeah. the key. That's the key spot because, right. you know, we didn't really see too much 3-5-2-ing this year in general right. in the game. But the fifth mid being someone like, I know no one has Rice, but someone like Rice, who's 5'5".
Doug Luiz.
Doug Luiz, sure. Yeah. I mean, that like away home split thing is quite a thing.
Yeah.
But, he still got a few assists away. Yeah, but someone
there's still teams that have Gordon. Like, they just sure. have a cheap enough team, cheap enough defense where, like,
got
Gordon's
him when
just
he,
in or
got
out.
Him, he was 5'5 for half the, you know, or not half, but for a while.
Yeah, like there are a lot of teams that have benefited from that. And we all kind of knew going into the season, wow, everyone's so cheap. Like, wow, you could get all these guys. But like,
yeah,
a lot of teams, us included, have just had to take hits because we just said, I mean, you've had Chukwuemeka red flag for like 20 game weeks, I feel like, you know, so
I love
it. It is what it is.
I do love him. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that on Postmortem, I'm sure. But it just affords you so much.
I do want to pick up on what you said, though, about maybe like you haven't seen much 3-5-2-ing, because I do think that it's possible that we're going to all be wanting to 3-5-2 really soon. And I haven't seen many people talk about it, but like to me, on paper, like Haaland is obviously no question. Midfield, I mean, everyone's going to be bringing in Mo, Son, everyone has Saka. There's plenty of other great mids in there to pick from. Palmer, Foden, Matto, you know, Bumo's back. There's other guys that I'm forgetting. And it's like those guys all of a sudden versus the third forward that you may or may not have. I mean, you know, between like Ali, Dom, Muniz, Darwin, you know, Morris, like, I think I'd rather have the midfielder. Most of those.
Yeah, I mean, Dom's appeal, Solanke's appeal is definitely waning. I think you're still supposed to, in air quotes, if you're doing that thing called playing for points, Ali and Haaland. I mean, I don't think I care enough about Ali having a few tough fixtures because he still just looks good. I mean, they laid an egg against West Ham, but it was after Thursday. I mean, there's some mitigating factors there. You're exposing yourself quite openly if you're not going to have Ali. So, I mean, after those two building blocks, you know, it's possible, you know, to put Muniz in there. And if you want Mo, it depends kind of how the things are going to trickle down there.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Kind of weird with Ollie's fixtures, right? I mean, he has literally interchanging great fixture and bad fixtures. Home Wolves, at City, ideally you bench him. Home Brentford, at Arsenal, ideally you bench him. Home Bournemouth, and I don't know how their doubles play. I don't think they have any. Home Bournemouth, home Chelsea, you know, yada yada. But like for those next five, yeah, it's going to be really, really risky to not have him for Home Wolves, home Brentford, home Bournemouth, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, maybe you just, if you're wild carding now or whatever, you can bench him. Yeah.
I think
your fifth mid is good enough to bench him, sure.
Fifth mid or even third forward if you are in a 3-5-2, right? Sure. Like if or it's a Muniz or something like that, or, you know, who's maybe it lines up. I don't know how their fixtures line up.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be good.
But I think the available forwards in the game who look like good picks right now are, you know, there's not more than six.
Yeah.
You know, you probably put Darwin in there.
Yeah.
You know, Isak's maybe shout worthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, there just aren't that. I mean, I guess Hodgson's could be shout worthy.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, yeah.
I still think Tony's going to get points. I mean, they're getting more
fit
and they actually have a really, really good fixture run until the end of the season.
He absolutely will. Yeah.
So I still like him. But I mean, other than that, though, it's probably not anything anyone else.
Muniz,
really.
I mean, Dean Ehlers said, yeah. Is Muniz actually a pick now? He's been stamped with the Inform brand. I think his expiration date is until April 20th at Liverpool. Would you take him over Dom, over Tony, over Ali for the price, etc.? And this guy is fucking legit. I mean, listen, he's not... I don't think he's going to keep this up. You know, all of a sudden, he's not just like Harry Kane and he's going to score 30 goals next season. But like right now, he's on fucking fire. He's getting a million shots, big chances, finishing him. Fulham look good. He looks good. Yeah, he's in the mix, right? I mentioned the Anthony Robinson fixtures, same fixtures, right? He's at Sheffield, at Forest next to home Newcastle. Three bangers for a forward.
Yeah, I'm... Yes, and also he certainly has some dings. Like Jim being back isn't nothing, right? Yeah. Him suddenly being benched or getting subbed early, and
but he got hurt.
Jim was, yeah, fine. But I mean, Jim was also playing incredibly before he got hurt. It was a small window of time, but you know, we can't be remiss and forget that too quickly.
Yeah,
and they are quite different away than home, and they do have three aways in the next four. You know, and then their homes, they have Liverpool, City down the line. I mean, I'm just saying, like, how do you put him in your team or what does your team look like? I mean, if he is an enabler to be able to keep Saka and get Mo and Holland and you're going to go 3-4-3, you know, that could be fine. And
that's kind of what I was thinking. He's an enabler. Maybe you bench Ali in those tough games. He comes in, or bench, you know, one of your mids. I don't know who your mids are, like, and start him in those games. Spot start to get the... what I think will be the template for game week 30 and 31 and beyond, which will be Holland, Mo, Son, Saka, you know, and other, you know, some other decently expensive guys in there, Ali, you know, and all of a sudden, like, you need money, you need enablers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, looking, if you're looking at that price breakdown, it might, you might kind of be forced to, and in which case, you know, you're not going to have to get a ton from your 4-6 starter to hopefully make up for having all of the other premium guys. Sure. So,
yeah,
you know, definitely an interesting one, but yeah, I agree with you more broadly though, of the 3-5-2 potentially being, you know, decent, depending on, you know, who you want to expose yourself to. And especially if, you know, if you're willing to go without Ollie, then I think the 3-5-2 looks a little bit more interesting to me.
Right.
Because I think Darwin is pretty important for the run.
I'm very interested. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, just, very interested.
I mean, they have so many injuries all the time. It's like kind of comical at this point. Yeah. It just feels like Liverpool's goal scoring prowess and possibilities in a very easy run-in without anything else really too stressful to play for, like Champions League, is just too high.
When are the Europa games? I don't actually know like where, what fixtures they surround, but it's, so they have the away Man United game, then they have the first leg of Europa, and then, and then it's the next week. So then it's Palace and then second leg of Europa. So yeah, I mean, should be,
I just think they're going
to
score the most goals in the league till the end of the season by some margin.
That's and chalky, I think. Right?
Yeah. And I feel like you want to have as many tickets in there as you can, especially when they're also in isolation good picks, you know, Mo and Darwin.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mo, because that's the big one, I think, for Game Week 30. You know, they have home Brighton. He's a captain shout, and then they're home Sheffield in 31. So Harley Boyson, Mo is back. For those of us without wildcard left to fit him in and aren't wanting to take hits to do major surgery, which one of the following so-called essential assets can be sacrificed to make way? Saka, Ali, Son. Platy asks, you know, is Son worth keeping on wildcard with Rich back? Talk about all the other picks. And the next 50 said, is Mo or Son a more urgent buy for Game Week 30, or should we be taking hits to get both?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's clearly Ali by a lot if you're stacking him next to Saka and Son. Yeah. I don't think it's particularly close.
And I think it's clearly Mo too. Like, people making, like, do I go for Mo or do I go for Son? Like, for me, it's a Mo by a landslide. Like, yeah, I don't even know what we're talking about. Like, the fact that we're getting these questions, I'm like, wow, he's actually still underrated? Like, what does he have to do? He returns every fucking game for a year and a half.
Well, I don't know how much it is that he's underrated and people just realizing how much more difficult it is to find $4 million for a player than true. Sun or whatever.
They're probably playing with their team. They're like, oh, I'll just get Sun.
Like, maybe they'll say that it's fine, and then I can tell myself it's fine, and then this fine dog appears when Mo's getting, you know, 17 and 20s.
Not fine. I mean,
not fine.
I've been saying it for a very long time. Pre-game week one, he's in my team for a reason. He's 250 points every fucking year. I mean, that's just his average. He's well on pace for that this year. I mean, obviously he got hurt. He missed a bunch of games with AFCON and injury.
And he still will get that.
And he's still probably going to get that. Yeah. Cause he's just the best FPL asset of all time by a wide margin. And he's fit and they have an insane run and he's not going to Egypt international break. Like it's, I think he's like, I hope people don't get him for 30. I pray that people don't get him.
You're so selfish.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, I think what people should do as an exercise is say, oh, Haaland, like imagine no one has Haaland in their team now and Haaland comes back and has home Brighton instead of, you know, Arsenal. Like, it wouldn't even be a discussion. It'd be like, oh, you're completely fucked if you don't have Haaland. That would be what people are talking about. Like, what are you even saying? That's how he should be discussed.
Yeah, you're just selfish and mean to the public. Listen, that's not a good job by you.
Well, they should listen to the pod and then they'll get him. But for those non-listeners, they will be smote, as you would say.
The smiting.
Yeah.
You know who's not doing any smiting? Tony. Jesus Christ. Tony can't not. Fucking score.
What a terrible birthday for him.
Oh, what a dumb bitch.
What did he do to Regs at the birthday party? It's just probably like,
Regs is the actual worst in how many years? He's the worst.
He's an all-time troll.
All-time. All-timer.
All-timer.
It's incredible. I thought we were done with him. And then all of a sudden he pops up on loan.
He's back.
It's like, why didn't they loan him to like Raya Vallecano or like Voladaddy Daddies or some shit in Spain? Like, go back to Spain and don't come back into this game that we play again.
For all we know, he's just the biggest laughing stock ever in La Liga. And they're like, obviously he's terrible. We don't want him. And no one ever wants, you know, that wouldn't be shocking at all.
No.
And they just knew and we didn't know because we don't watch La Liga. But,
I know.
You knew.
Because I didn't have him.
You knew and you know. And I didn't know and now I know. And a lot of people fucked around and found out. Who are you capping in 30? I mean, Jitterbug, I know it's 2 weeks away, but Jitterbug said, do you agree that Mo and Son is probably the chalk cap for 30, but actually Palmer's the best cap?
Palmer? Oh, Burnley.
Palmer's home, Burnley. Mo's home, Brighton. Home
Lutonites.
And Son is home, Luton.
Well, I'm not going to have Mo, so I won't be capping him.
Unless you wildcard.
I mean, things could certainly happen between today and in 2 weeks that will cause me to wild card. The more reason why I wouldn't wild card is my team is just kind of fine after the game week, and it's really just Mo, who I don't have, which I'm not too arsed by for one game.
Thank you, but it's fine.
I think, well, just some, you know, he's not going to be
it's in one game. Yeah, it's
every
one game.
Team, and it's one game, and it's a break, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is a classic case, I think, of the fixture versus the player, because Mo has a good fixture, but it's significantly worse than Son and Palmer.
Significantly. Brighton have played us well. Like, De Zerbi, Brighton has played well in every matchup against Klopp Liverpool.
Yeah. I mean, I have it on Son, and I have Palmer Vice right now. That I just did it when I looked at my team the other day, just from like my first thought. I prefer home Burnley than home Luton as an attacking fixture. But my issue with Palmer still remains, you know, as my issue is with Chelsea, they could just lose that game. Like, they could lose any game and I'm never going to be surprised ever.
Yep.
And Spurs, Luton,
they're so inconsistent, Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea are so inconsistent. And I mean, this is kind of a joke saying this after they just lost 3-0, even though they should have scored some goals in that game, to be fair. They should score at least four.
Who? Oh, Spurs, you're saying.
Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, for me, the only question with the Spurs fixture, and it honestly might not even matter. Sometimes I think I make too big a deal of this than it actually is like, are Luton going to continue playing like complete suicidal nuts, most open team in the league football? If they are, I mean, Spurs could score seven, and that's not, it doesn't really feel like a stretch. And that could be any number of goals scored. I wonder what the betting line is, because if it's less than like four, they have no idea what they're doing. I've had it on Sun now too. I mean, I haven't made my transfer yet to bring in Mo, so you know that might change things a little bit, but. I also have it on Sun for now. I am a little bit Rich worried, you know, if it's just Rich back to Stryker. I mean, BJ missed a fucking sitter. Timo missed a fucking sitter. I mean, these guys are not doing everything in their power to say, you know, we're only good in the off the bench for the last 20 minutes. Don't start us. But even still, like, even if he's at left wing, it should be so open that playing on the break, you know, that kind of, we've seen it so many times with Spurs. They scored two goals in the last 5 minutes of the game. Like, that is very on in this game. Yeah. I'm also leaning Son.
And Palmer still just his role. You know, I mean, how many opportunities does he get each game? It's just limited, you know, because he does float and he does play on the wing for a lot of the time. And, you know, he cuts inside a couple times, but they're generally, you know, these, whether they get a couple counterattacks that like N.Dot Jackson doesn't fuck up and they actually get in for a shot attempt.
Right.
I mean, he's banging these goals from like outside the box, you know, megging the defender and then coming near post type things where it's like, how sustainable is this? And, you know, to me, it's just the answer is not very. I just don't really view him too captainable when there are other good options.
I agree. Like, not,
I mean,
cap,
look, if Son
like,
had a bad fixture, I would cap Palmer.
Yeah. But we're both kind of agreeing that Palmer, while being arguably the best pick in the game because he's so fucking cheap, also might not be a captain. Like, those two things can exist simultaneously.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen, Mo is a fucking great cap. And any week that Mo is under 90% owned and has a good home fixture, I'm interested.
Yeah, sure.
But of course, we'll see 2 weeks from now if I go there or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm honestly, now I'm sitting here with, you know, a season of like, there's only going to be two big double game weeks, I think, and I have three chips. And I'm like looking at this week, I'm like, is this a potential free hit week? You know, like get rid of my Arsenal guys, like plunk, you know, like get triple Chelsea, which I would never get. Get like three Spurs attackers, you know, like shit like that. I don't know. It's not that crazy, I don't think.
No,
but
it's not. You have to pick your spot. I mean, because I think the fallback is game week 38 when you can kind of really isolate which fixtures are going to be playing beach,
which
B
matter
teams
and stuff.
Which I think is very reasonable and something you should spend more time thinking
like,
about.
And you look at the teams that may have something to play for in game week 38, and Arsenal at home, Everton, you know, Spurs are at Sheffield, Liverpool's home Wolves, City's home West Ham. You know, like there's a lot of, if there's still a title race, if there's still a top four race, Villa are at Palace, which may or may not be that good. Yeah, there's a lot of shit there. There's a lot of shit to look at.
And it might not make sense because your team's going to have mostly players from those teams anyway. So
Right. Yeah,
I need
to look more closely.
Yeah, you got to look more. But I mean, if you determine like 38's not going to be the play, then after a really long international break when you might have, you know, one or two injury concern question marks that you could get out of and avoiding
and late
the Arsenal,
South Americans returning or whatever.
You can dodge them. You can avoid City Arsenal picks this week. And yeah, that could be a thing.
Could be okay. Yeah.
But it's also too with Mo Cap, just to go back to that for a quick minute, is like you said, home Brighton were conditioned to be or think that that is a really good attacking fixture. And it's kind of just not, you know, I mean, they've been, they're not at the level of Burnley, Luton, Sheffield.
No.
I mean, it is if you're
not
comparing it to mid-table teams, but you know, I mean, it's not at the level. So that I think also is important to me when I'm looking at these picks for captain, right?
Yeah, it's deceptive to just, I think it's not deceptive, it's just easy. Like that to group them all similarly, right?
Yeah.
They play he's home Brighton, he's home Burnley, he's home Luton. Who do I cap? But like one of those is not like the others.
No.
Yeah. What's fucking ridiculous with these point deductions and shit. Is that like Burnley's kind of alive and they're the biggest joke ever?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the point deductions, I don't want to spend time on. But I mean, Brighton also, though, their defense has been fucking really good.
Fine.
Like, they're playing differently, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're not getting battered. They're not in these like really high scoring routinely. Like they happen, but it's not like watching them to me over the last few months. I'm not just feeling like, oh, they're just going to be in cricket score games all the time. Like they kind of kill
games.
They've
had an insane run though. I mean, they've played Spurs twice in this run and conceded two goals each game. But the other games in the last 10 are NFO, Fulham, Everton, Sheffield, Palace, Luton, Wolves, West Ham, Palace. So, like, they almost haven't had the opportunity to concede a lot of goals. So, I wonder if that's also just a factor. But they've they're also weird with Europe, right? Like, sometimes they just look really leggy and defensive and, you know.
But I just see them as like, oh, yeah, they'll probably let up two. Not like, oh, they could get whacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't expect... Excuse me.
You all right? Big cough session here.
Sometimes the water goes down the wrong hole.
Oh my god, I hate that shit.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to the best and worst of us.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm with you on the fixture there. Any other matches you want to talk about? I mean, it was obviously short, weird game week.
I mean, I don't know. It's tough because there are like more specific, like, did we learn anything from free hit, the chip itself? Do we learn anything from when we have these? You know, it seems like every other year-ish, there's the blank game week where it is this bad when the games are this from the teams that are this bad because they're the ones that all got knocked out of the other things and shit. So, like, I still think from the playing FPL standpoint, like, this is the correct time to use this free hit chip.
I agree.
Like, when this arises, this is when you should use it.
Like, the thing that... Yeah, as you mentioned accurately, I think we talked a lot about diversifying your team. I mean, this might have been on the Patreon episode. I don't remember if it was on Monday or Thursday, but and like no one listened. But if anyone kind of diversified, because all we were trying to do is find one clean, right? Find one pen, find one clean. If anyone did that, say they had the template team, but they had Muniz, or they had a template team, they had a Fulham defender, they had a template team, and there was a pen, but there were no pens, or whatever, they flew, right? Like, if it was your team, or in some 18-point team, plus 10, they fucking flew. They had a massive
week. Well, for me,
week.
It would have even been if NFO just won to nil. Like, but the thing that with this week that was unique is Fulham... Outside of Muniz, which you could like having a Fulham defender, and you know, we talked about Leno a little bit with like Hope just looking for saves.
But
having a Fulham defender was and is insane. Like for this specific, these four games, like I don't think I saw one, you know, in any anywhere. And I would have probably put next to Burnley, you know, as second worst option. And they happened to, you know,
be the only clean.
Concede a lot of chances and keep the clean and be the only team that kept the clean, right?
Yeah.
So like, even if you did diversify, you're still getting
You're
nothing.
Saying they would have been probably last or second to last on your list. Yeah, I mean, I like them a little bit more than you, I think, especially at home. They've been really consistently good at home, but I totally take your point. And I take your point to maybe the lesson we learned is... Fucking don't underestimate home teams, man. I mean,
yeah.
Even if you just look like the most simple analytics, like how good is a team metric, is their non-penalty XG differential, right? Just plus or minus of that. Home, I mean, it's Liverpool, Arsenal, and City, way a million miles above everyone, right? Like it's not even close. They're over one. They're all incredible. Away, Sydney's the only team over one.
Yeah.
And there's a huge, I mean, Arsenal's also really high, huge drop off to Liverpool. And every team is either like zero or negative.
Yeah.
And like, we just didn't pay enough attention to that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a yes and no because it's still just looking at these four games and like, even knowing that, you know, say you give the home team a significant edge.
Yeah.
The only, like, even, I mean, the Brentham Burnley game almost didn't happen because of the Rex cards, which is misleading. Yeah. But like,
But DeFofana was a pick. We still like DeFofana, right? Even 11
first on
11.
My bench, baby.
I mean, he
first
could on have, my bench. He could have Haddied. And that's, yeah. I don't say that lightly. Like, he and missed a fucking insane sitter.
And he
took the ball off of Flecken, you know,
yeah.
and just had an open net and slipped. He scored a goal, didn't take the pen. It's like pretty unlucky there. Yeah.
But like, the only game where it was, to me, like, would have been really if you buy West Ham players to subscribe to that, you know?
Yeah.
On well, these yeah, four but, games. Because, like, Fulham and Spurs are just still too mismatched, like, quality-wise, for me to be like, the home's going to give them enough of an edge where it's like, I think it's a 55-45. Like, let me just pick the home team no matter which side I think that, if it's the 45 or not. But, like Luton, I was like, they're fucked after all these games they just played and the way they just looked against Bournemouth. Like, I don't see this as, I don't care where they're playing. Like, right. I just don't like them. And yeah. like, Burnley are fucked every game. So right. if they played against 11 players for the whole game, like, they probably would have just lost like we expected.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's hard still.
It's hard. I still think like I obviously got the lucky haul. I think Muniz was the one who got away from a lot of free hitters.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Fulham defense, I agree with you. Put that aside, would have been pretty crazy out of your keeper and three defenders to put Fulham as one of the four best if you're on free hit. Yeah. But we know Spurs are completely wide open, and we know Fulham are good at home.
And they had no Van de Ven.
And they had no Van de Ven. Like, that was all fact. And... Yeah. Listen, he fucking was great again. He's been great every game.
And it's, to me though, I still feel like that's the case. And also, Tony and Wissa down to 10 men for literally the whole game should have both returned.
And should have both returned.
So if that game was 11v11, you know, I don't know what could have been. So you I'm still looking at that as like, I'm still happy with my choices. Yep. You know, it just...
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
And the Chris Wood thing is so annoying, right? We didn't get the leaks that we wanted. I think if we got a leak, say 30 minutes before the deadline, that Taiwo's out for the fucking season and not in the squad and Wood is starting, I think a lot of people would have gone there and just been like, listen, it's Luton. And he only had the one shot, but he fucking scored, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that would have moved the needle enough.
I think it would have. But anyway, that's basically... Oh, we got one lifestyle question from Adman. He said, lifestyle question, having the flu, need help passing the time. What are your favorite TV shows?
This is too much for me. This is overwhelming.
And for both of us, it's Sopranos.
What's your
experience? I think it's talking about all timer. But for both of us, Sopranos is very high on the list.
By a lot is number one.
Yeah.
And, not close.
And rewatchability is super high. And it's long. I mean, there's no chance your flu outlives the Sopranos. No,
that's, you'd have to literally not sleep.
Yeah.
for you to outpace your flu and yourself to outpace.
So that's easy.
But it's just hard to, in a vacuum, knowing nothing, you know, because most of these shows everyone's seen also. It's like,
right.
Because they're the best for a reason, you know, and most people have seen them.
But. What do you like is an essential question there to help guide us. So respond on Discord with that.
Well, I've been fucking hammering this home over the last year or two. Boardwalk Empire is an unbelievable show that not enough people
haven't really
have seen.
Given it a shot.
It's absolutely incredible show.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking. There's like two shows that came out at a similar time. But Peaky Blinders, is that similar
not
at all?
Not good. No, Peaky Blinders is absolute dog shit.
But are they
trash.
About the Prohibition or something? Like, I don't know anything about either show. They just kind of look similar.
Yeah, they're aesthetically, I mean, yeah, they are similar time periods, but one is in a country that didn't have prohibition, which is in England, and one is in a country that did, which is ours.
In
Atlantic City. Yeah, that Peaky Blinders takes place in Birmingham, where Jack the Lad. Yeah, where Chavs grow up, Jack Grealish, etc.
Let's fucking go.
But, and then, Boardwalk Empire takes place in Atlantic City in that area. But, so I would definitely shout that, you know, assuming that you hadn't seen it.
Okay,
another
nice.
HBO show. And
nice one.
It's also one that, unlike most shows, didn't go on for 35 seasons and then
way
it was terrible.
Too long.
Like, it ended well and it finished up when it should have. And then I think, Succession's been the other big one lately for us, right? You and I also.
Yeah, I fell off, not gonna lie. But the first couple seasons, fucking incredible. And
yeah, which
they
did
the
fall
creators,
prey to the problem that I was just describing. Yes. Succession went on too long. Yeah.
And my one other shout out is, I know you're not a fan, but Peep Show is my favorite comedy of all time. And the creators of Succession also created Peep Show. Great.
Yeah.
Great guys.
Yeah. I don't know. Peep Show, after I got the shtick and I watched like 10-ish, I was like, okay, like I'm good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like for the me, different it's just scenarios or situations. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't keep me. I mean, Arrested Development, it's sort of like a similar kind of vibe, but I feel like
Twin
there's more
Peaks
story.
Twin Peaks also very high on my list.
Twin Peaks is good. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, anyway, there's a lot.
There's a lot out there. Yeah. All right, dude. Yeah, let's wrap it up, right?
That's a pod.
That's a pod. Ain't a slap. We got Bjorn Karsten, new patron. Sign up. So, yes, baby, get in there. And I'll see you in 10-ish days. Any last words?
Or I'll see you tomorrow.
Check us out. NFMelfield.com. Follow us on Twitter. NFMelfield. Support patreon.com/NFMelfield. Subscribe, rate, review, and cheer.
Podcast Network.